Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about the new catch rule, go back in time and kind of evaluate how we got to this point. You know, the NFL had a lot of opportunities to change this rule over time, and they're just doing it now in 2018. How did we get here, and what could have been done in the past to change it? But before I get to that, I want to talk about some news and notes. Mike Tomlin met with the media today at a breakfast and said some things that I think are noteworthy, right? First of all, he talked about Eli Rogers and that whole contract situation. You know, we talked last week on the podcast about how Eli Rogers is a restricted free agent, but he tore his ACL against Jacksonville. So likely, you know, they chose not to tender him because of that injury. Tomlin saying today that he is open to bringing Eli Rogers back, and not just open to it. He feels like Eli Rogers can be a significant contributor in 2018, which is very, very encouraging. You know, I had just assumed, I think a lot of people had just assumed, that the Steelers would move on from Eli Rogers, that they would take a wide receiver in the draft or bring someone in free agency or, you know, just fill that roster spot rather than wait for Eli Rogers' recovery. But it doesn't sound like, from what Tomlin said today, it doesn't sound like that's really the plan. It sounds like the plan is more to bring back Eli Rogers. You know, whether it's, you know, the timing of that, we shall see. But very encouraging to hear Tomlin talk about Eli Rogers. Again, I think Eli Rogers was a very good slot receiver in 2016. I know he lost out on that spot to 2017, but as we start to move away from Martavis Bryant, you know, there seems to be this hole opening on the roster. But I feel like if you put Juju on the out, maybe you put Juju on the outside with AB and play Eli Rogers in the slot, and you don't have to go out and spend another high draft pick on a wide receiver. So again, encouraging to hear what Tomlin's saying about Eli Rogers. Tomlin also talking about the celebrations and the new celebration rule last year, the lack of celebration rule, saying, quote, young people aren't allowed to celebrate in that way, so why should we? It's my personal feeling that young people can't do it. Kids can't do it in high school games, so why should we? Very interesting to hear Tomlin say that about, you know, the Steelers became a team in 2017 that was, you know, one of the most creative teams when it came to celebrations, whether it was Juju or Le'Veon or Martavis or AB or some combination thereof, right? You know, we were one of the most fun teams when it came to celebrations. And I think Tomlin somewhat misses the mark here, you know, talking about how, you know, young people aren't allowed to celebrate. Like, it's a stupid rule at lower levels, right? The idea here with the celebration thing is that you don't want to be disrespectful, right? You don't want to show up your opponent. And I think in a lot of ways that's true, right? You know, when celebrations start getting into the case of, you know, trying to showboat and stand over and, you know, that kind of thing, I think we can all agree, right? That stuff doesn't belong in the game. But when we're talking about, you know, the hide and seek that Juju had or the bench press or, you know, those kind of celebrations, I mean, that stuff is fun, right? And again, football is a sport. It is supposed to be entertaining. We are supposed to be entertained watching it. And so I don't really have any problem here. I think Tomlin's a bit missing the mark here as he talks about that. High school kids should be allowed to celebrate. College kids certainly should be allowed to celebrate. And again, as long as it doesn't cross a line. Once we start getting into like the showboating and showing up your opponent, I will agree with Tomlin. But, you know, as we saw last year with the celebrations in the NFL, it really didn't get to that point. So, I think Tomlin is missing the mark here. All right, so let's talk about what is a catch, because the NFL has finally clarified the age-old question, what is a catch? A catch now, no longer with this going to the ground, not going to the ground, there's two different interpretations of the rule. It is simple now. It is 2 feet or some other body part, your elbow or whatever. Possession, football move. 2 feet, possession, football move. That's a catch. I mean, I like the rule. I like that they've simplified it. I get a little weird about what exactly is a football move again. Can we clarify just a little bit more, like what a football move is? Because, you know, a third step is a football move, or bringing, you know, he said reaching it out or bringing it in, or the gray area of what the new part of what is a catch is going to be. What is a football move? But I don't know. I guess that's better to me. I don't know how I don't know how it's taken this long to fix this rule. You go back to 2008, or 2010, excuse me, the Calvin Johnson play, right? This entire thing is known as the Calvin Johnson rule because of that play in 2010. Opening day, Lions at Bears, week one, Sean Hill at the 25-yard line, down by five with like 20 seconds to go, and he throws a fade route to Calvin Johnson in the corner of the end zone, who brings it down. Spectacular Calvin Johnson play. Catch, clean catch. Goes up to celebrate. In going up to celebrate, he kind of drops the ball, right, as he's using that catch hand to lift himself up to celebrate. They call it incomplete. And the crazy part about that one is that didn't go to replay, right? A lot of people think that this whole catch rule has been a problem because of the instant replay. And largely it has, right? I mean, largely these have been overturned calls. But the most infamous one, the Calvin Johnson rule, that was called incomplete on the field. Incredible. I mean, it's incredible. You go back and you watch that play, and it's incredible to this day. I don't understand how that's not a catch. And yet, here we are 8 years later, and we're finally fixing that rule. And you would have thought, you know, okay, if the NFL were administered in such a way that they actually cared about the game and the product on the field, then after that game and after that year, they would have gone back and gone, look, we got to fix this rule because you can't have that, right? Now, it ended up being a game, again, opening day, Lions, Bears, Sean Hill, who cares, right? Ultimately, for the NFL, yes, it became a controversy. Yes, it drove some sports media for a couple weeks, and it became a little bit of a thing, but they could sweep it under the rug and go, whatever, it didn't really cost anything, right? Let's move on. And they did. But, you know, that rule actually, to me, the first instance of that rule, I know a lot of people remember 2010, and that's really when it became popular. But to me, I remember that the going to the ground rule, the first time I ever remember it being called, was not in 2010. It was 2005. It was the divisional round playoff game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. That was a year where the Pittsburgh Steelers would go on to win the Super Bowl. That was a year in which the Steelers were 7-5. They were just left for dead, beaten by the Cincinnati Bengals. They needed to win all four games just to make the playoffs that year, and they did. The Indianapolis Colts were a team that were red hot coming into the playoffs. The Steelers would meet the Colts in a game, second-year quarterback Ben Roethlisberger against veteran Peyton Manning trying to win his first Super Bowl, right? With a team with Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James. I mean, that team was loaded. And that game is remembered for a lot of crazy plays, right? The sack by Joey Porter on Peyton Manning on fourth down to give the Steelers the ball at the 2 yard line. Subsequently, Jerome Bettis fumbles, right? All of that. We all, the crazy Ben Roethlisberger tackle. We remember all of these plays. But before all of that, there was the Troy Polamalu interception or non-interception. The score was 21-10. The Pittsburgh Steelers had been ahead the entire game. Remember, they jumped out to a big 14-0 lead. They held on to that lead throughout the game. We're now into the fourth quarter. There's 5 minutes, 6 minutes to go in the game. Peyton Manning has the ball near midfield. He throws the ball over the middle. Troy Polamalu comes out of nowhere to intercept the ball. Goes down to the ground, kind of somersaults his way up. On his way somersaulting, the ball hits his knee, comes flying out. He jumps on top of it. Interception. Game over. Steelers win 21-10. That's not how history played out. Because what ends up happening from that point, actually, rather than having me describe it, here's Dan Dierdorf, the announcer of that game, describing the Troy Polamalu interception.
There it is right there. He hits the ground. Oh, clearly he makes a football move. He rolls over a couple times holding the ball.
Oh, how naive we were back in 2005 to think that possession and a football move constitutes a catch. Now, here's the referee describing why it's an incomplete pass.
After reviewing the play, the defender caught the ball, lost it prior to getting his knee off the ground. Therefore, it is an incomplete pass.
Wow.
Listen to how shocked Dan Dierdorf and Dick Enberg both are at that call. Listen to the crowd going nuts in shock. I mean, again, this is pre-Dez Bryant. This is pre-Calvin Johnson, right? We weren't exposed to this level of going to the ground as we are today, right? But again, think about how that could have played out, because the Steelers ended up winning that football game, right? The Steelers, all the craziness that happens afterwards, the Steelers end up winning that football game. But had they not won that football game, would that have been the same kind of thing as Calvin Johnson? Would it have been the same as Dez Bryant? I would hope so. I would certainly hope so. But again, it happened in a win. So the NFL, as it does, sweeps under the rug. Again, if there were people in the NFL head office who actually cared about the game, who cared about making sure that the integrity of the game was solidified in their rule book, they would have looked at that play and gone, look, I know that the Steelers ended up winning that game, but that Troy Polamalu interception play is really strange. We should probably look at that rule. But they did not. And 5 years later, the Calvin Johnson rule happens. And 4 years later, we have the 2018 season. And the NFL deserves everything it got in 2017. They deserve every bit of criticism that they got about this catch rule, because there was so much written this year. I mean, the ratings were down every week. It seemed like, is that a catch? And it all culminated in their one saving grace of a game. In a year in which the ratings were down so much in 2017, both for on-the-field reasons where teams that were supposed, the Dallas Cowboys were supposed to be so good and so fun, and they were not, and the Packers, same thing, and Aaron Rodgers is hurt the whole year, right? The play on the field just wasn't as good. And there were a bunch of off-the-field reasons for the ratings going down as well. But the NFL held out all its hope on one game. Oh no, don't worry, because we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, the most winning franchise in NFL history, hosting the modern dynasty New England Patriots in a game between two of the best teams in the AFC. And the winner of that football game will get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. This is the biggest game of the season for the NFL. And what is that game remembered for? Is it remembered as the game where the Pittsburgh Steelers lost Antonio Brown and still clawed their way back, took a lead in that game, held on to that lead until the end when Tom Brady, the miracle worker, comes down and gets a lead of his own through Rob Gronkowski and doing what Tom Brady does? Is it remembered for the fact that the youngest player in the NFL, Juju Smith-Schuster, one of the most exciting young players in the NFL, gets a 70-yard reception in the dying moments of that game when it seemed like the Steelers were down and out? Is that what the game is remembered for? Is it remembered as an all-time classic, which it should have been? No. It is remembered for, again, what is a catch? What is a catch? It comes down to the Jesse James, what is a catch play? And the NFL deserves this because they could have changed it in 2005 after the Troy Polamalu play, which, again, not a lot of people remember. And they shouldn't, because it was a nothing play in a game where the Steelers ultimately went on to win. They should have changed it after Calvin Johnson. But again, hey, it's week one. Who cares? Bears, Lions, big deal. They should have changed it in 2014 after the Dez Bryant play. And it was only because of their arrogance that they didn't. But you know what? After all that, they did change the rule, right? They did change the rule. We finally have a new catch rule in March of 2018. Actually, that's not true. They changed the rule. They changed it on Super Bowl Sunday. Here's Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN to explain.
I don't think we should gloss over what Mort said and what Sal also confirmed talking to Al Riveron. Basically saying that the Zach Ertz play and Corey Clement play in the Super Bowl were ruled differently, that this
because
was an action
was
before
coming.
A vote,
yeah.
That were ruled differently. That changes the biggest and most important game of the season. That's a massive thing. That's a big deal.
Let me reiterate what he's saying there. It is now being reported by ESPN through Al Riveron, the head of officiating of the NFL, that they changed the rule not on March 27th, 2018, when it officially went into law, into the NFL bylaws. No. They changed the rule on February 5th, 2018. They changed the rule in the game. There are two plays he's talking about. The Corey Clement play, where he comes down with the football. Does it hit the ground as he's going down? Probably. Does he maintain possession? Again, it's one of those, I don't know what a catch is. They rule it a catch. Then you go to the Zach Ertz play. And the Zach Ertz play, to all Steeler fans, looks exactly the same as the Jesse James play. And I sat there watching that game and I said, they're going to call that incomplete because that's the exact same play as Jesse James. If Jesse James didn't score a touchdown, then I'm sorry, Zach Ertz. You didn't score a touchdown either. And what I loved about that play, what I loved about that moment, is that here's the NFL, which again could have fixed a rule in 2005. Who cares? It's a nothing thing. Steelers won the game. Could have fixed it in 2010. it's, you know, it's the Lions and Bears. Could have fixed it in 2014. Well, we better not admit our mistake. Now, instead, they don't fix the rule. And instead, they wait until Super Bowl Sunday when football justice is happening in front of our eyes. A league that has turned a blind eye to a rule that has been screwed up for 13 years. And it's finally going to bite them in the Super Bowl, in a game not where 10 million people are watching, not where 20 million people are watching, in a game where over 100 million people are watching. And let's not forget that this Super Bowl, for casual fans, was just about as perfect a football game as you could imagine. For us Steeler fans, we all would have liked some more defense. But for casual fans, this was up and down football. This was an underdog story. This was lots and lots of offense, lots and lots of scoring. And how was that game about to end? It was about to end the same way the 2017 season had played out, with controversial what is a catch play. Because that Zach Ertz play should have been overturned. You heard Tim Hasselbeck say it. ESPN is reporting it. They ruled that differently than they did for the entire 2017 season. Now, I said on my old podcast, Steeler Country, that, you know, any sort of talk of conspiracy when it came to this rule and the way that they were officiating this year, right, was probably nonsense, right? The NFL made a change to say every replay is going to go to the NFL head office now, and our head official, Al Riveron, is going to make every replay call. This is in an effort to have more consistency. Okay, that's nice, but it also opens the door up to a little bit of conspiracy, because we're no longer letting each referee determine what is a catch and what is not a catch, or what replay should be. We're letting it all go through one person and all through the NFL head office. And again, when we talk about conspiracy, could it just be that the NFL head office could say, that one, you should just rule that one. I know that the rule says you shouldn't, but you should just rule that one a catch. And it was written at times this year about how many times the Patriots certainly got away with these types of plays. You can go back to the Houston Texans play against their game against the Houston Texans, when Brandon Cooks caught the ball in the corner of the end zone to win that football game. And it looked like that he maintained control all the way down. Not so sure on that one. They win that one. Then, of course, the Jesse James play happens. Then the week later against Buffalo Bills, the Calvin Benjamin play happens. And again, the Patriots win that call. And so, again, I'm not saying that that's a conspiracy, right? I'm not saying that there was a conspiracy there. I'm saying it becomes easier to draw that conspiracy because it goes to the NFL head office. I am saying that the Super Bowl is a conspiracy, because it was, because it is now admitted, right? If what ESPN is reporting, and again, they're reporting, if they're getting this information from Al Riveron himself, then that is a full-on conspiracy. They changed the rule. If you're going to change the rule, I'm fine with changing it in March when you're supposed to, but you can't just change the rule in the middle of the season, and not just in the middle of the season, in the biggest moment, in the biggest game. We're just not going to call a catch anymore. We're just changing what the rule is. I mean, it's so ridiculous. You know, they've turned replay into, like, who wants to be a millionaire? Because now, instead of the replay official going over and looking at the video and trying to determine, it's phone a friend. Let's phone a friend back to New York so that Al Riveron can determine it. Okay, and now in the Super Bowl, it's not just Al Riveron. Let's pull the audience. Oh, are they going to be pissed off if I rule this incomplete? Yeah, they're probably going to be pissed off. We shouldn't do that. Not in the Super Bowl. No. Let's not do that. I mean, it's a joke. They've turned replay into a joke. We can all be happy that they changed the catch rule, but if we're just changing rules willy-nilly, if we're changing rules whenever you know the wind's blowing their direction, I mean, what are we doing? I mean, this is a clown show. This is a clown show at this point. So, I mean, I don't know how your blood doesn't boil listening to that. I mean, I get that we want to change this rule, and I agree with it. And ultimately, it hurt the Patriots, which, again, I love with all my being. I hate the Patriots more than anything in the world. But you don't do it this way. You don't just change the rules willy-nilly. Because again, for the NFL, who deserved what happened to them for not changing the rule over this many years, they deserved the egg on their face that would have happened in the Super Bowl by ruling those plays incomplete. Because those 100 million people who are watching the Super Bowl, who don't watch the league every week, who are going to be saying, I don't understand. What do you mean that's not a catch? Exactly. Exactly. And the NFL, to do this, it's despicable. It really is despicable. I try not to be hyperbolic here, but how can you not be? All right. I think I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers. If you want to leave feedback, steelercountry@gmail.com. The Twitter address is @steelercountry. Again, I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.